Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. My name is Scott Walterbach, and I represent the tax sale purchaser on our second case, Harpagon Mo LLC. Similar to the facts in the first case, my client purchased the property and sent the notice, and the challenge came from the owners of the homestead lot, Mr. and Mrs. Bosch. I want to get right to the heart of the matter. I think there's two issues in this case. One is when a notice must be sent, and two is what time component, if any, must be included in that notice. And I want to be clear in my approach that I believe the first part of that, when, is strictly a matter of construing the statute. And we've talked a little bit about that language in the last case about authorized to acquire the deed. The second part, I'd like to separate out.
And what's your position? Your position is that, is what?
Our position on the first part is that construing the language at least 90 days prior to the date when the purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed, if you construe that with all of the rest of Chapter 140, and I've cited a lot of statutes in my brief, a lot of other subsections that go along with that, it becomes very clear that the intended structure of the statute is that the viability period for that certificate of purchase goes on for 1 year past the redemption period. There's also a six-month period where the certificate can continue to accrue interest, and that can't possibly be the case if the landowner or any other interest holder has 1 year and only 1 year to redeem. How can it possibly be that I can allow interest to accrue at a time when they can't come back and redeem it? That just seems to me to be patently unfair in favor of my client. So that can't possibly be the case. So the purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed anytime after 1 year, because the 1 year is an absolute right on the part of an interest holder to redeem. Nobody can vary that right. Not the collector, not my client, nobody. So the 1 year has to lapse. Number two, all the prerequisites that we've talked about before, the tax sale purchaser has to meet those, including sending notice and presenting the certificate of sale, paying subsequent city and county taxes that might be due on the property, all those things. And, of course, all that has to happen prior to the viability period expiring, and that's that two-year period that we've talked about. As to the second part about what time component, if any, must be stated in the notice, that is primarily a matter of constitutional due process. The statute doesn't say specifically you must tell the interest holder X, Y, or Z. It just is silent on that. So what we're really trying to do with the time component is comply with constitutional due process and what is essentially a reasonableness standard. Clark, I want to say that my suggested approach can be a fairly easy to follow rule that both borrows from the Western District and the Eastern District without definitively saying one is wrong and the other is right. Clark went so far as to say is that you need not include any time period in order to comply with due process. And Degwa took a little bit of a different approach and said, this is such an important right that you must indicate to them not just that some right exists, but that some right is pending. You have a certain limited period of time to take action. What I believe the proper rule is, borrowing from each, is that you have to give an interest holder in a notice of the right to redeem some generally specific time period, not that rises to the level of giving legal advice to them about their precise rights, but something that indicates the action is pending. You have to do something now. Not just, you may have a right out there and I don't know what it is, but good luck. Indicating to them some sort of time period to communicate pendency.
You have to let them know the clock's ticking.
Correct.
Did you look at the notice in the previous case, by chance?
I haven't seen the notice. I've read the brief, and I'm generally familiar with it, yes.
Did you think the notice in the previous case was sufficient?
Yes, I do.
Because it gave the general time period and gave them...
It communicates a general time period that I think we can all agree does not rise to the level of giving legal advice. It didn't include, you know, a specific date or something. That's difficult to do. But it did give a generally accurate time period for them to redeem. And as we discussed in the prior case, in fact, they had more time than was stated in the letter, 90 days. They had longer than 90 days, which just gives more process than is due.
Or could that be you're misleading them because they actually might have time after the 90 days was up? And I know that's an issue in your case. Was it 101 days?
It was 101 days.
And because it just took an extra 10 days or 11 days to file it, could the opposing side, I think, would argue that they thought their time was up at 90 days because that's what it said, and in fact they had 101 days. And so maybe they were misled, or is that a matter of proof? Does it matter? Why shouldn't it matter?
We get into this issue of detrimental reliance, and it's a dangerous area because we don't want to put the onus of proof of reliance on the person whose constitutional rights are at stake. So it becomes a difficult question. My approach to it is we're sending these notices 3 months before the time we intend to go apply for the deed. At that time, ex ante, which is when our compliance with due process must be analyzed, we do the best we can at telling them when their right is going to expire. Often, and almost in my clients, every one of our cases, they actually have the deed issued after the time period. Can that be, quote unquote, misleading? I think we're taking a micro approach to something that deserves a macro look.
Why
at
do they always do it after the time period?
Because doing it prior to the time, if you tell the interest holder that they have 90 days and you go get the deed recorded on day 85,
yeah.
I think that's a clear violation of constitutional due process.
90?
How about on day 90?
Uh-huh.
Ideally speaking, that would be the case. But in my experience, in my client's experience, 3 months prior, it is impossible to know the exact date on which the deed is going to be issued and recorded, because it depends on if some of those notices come back saying not a good address, if we need to go follow up with finding a different address or posting on the property.
Well, but we do this every day in court. A summons is answerable within 30 days of the date of receipt. So if you use a Stricto or a Jones, if you send it by certified mail, you'll get back something that says received this date. You'll get something certified saying they received it. And if you send it by process server, which is done 1,000 times a day in St. Louis, the person who served the process will say, served on so-and-so this date. And if you said returnable 90 days from receipt of the, it's not that complicated.
I suppose that language could be used, but even still, there, especially in Clay County, where this case comes from, there are hundreds of properties that are sold, and my clients buy a lot of them. It is impossible to know the specific date because it somewhat depends on the expedience of the collector's office in processing that paperwork and issuing the deed. So 3 months prior, I don't know if it's going to be 92 days or 94 days or 101 days. I just don't know. So we do the best we can.
You're saying it's not the day you ask the deed for the deed to be issued, it's the day it is issued, and you don't control that. Collector does?
Yes, that's true. The collector absolutely controls the date that the deed is being issued.
Well, you pay the taxes, and how long is it taking to get to a deed?
In this case, I think it was something on the order of 3, 4, 5 days, like that.
That's not too hard. It doesn't take up a whole year's time. I mean, you get the deed within 3, 4, 5 days. I mean, collection agencies, in St. Louis, you talk about a couple hundred, there's thousands of cases filed every day. And served every day in the city of St. Louis.
And
respectfully,
Your Honor, I think the difference would be that courts are well equipped to handle that sort of thing. Collector's offices, in my experience, are not.
Well, you have to wait a year too. You can't get it before a year.
Correct.
So It has
to
be a year.
So what I'm advocating is that if you want to send a notice prior to 90 days before the one-year anniversary, I don't think there's anything in the statute that prohibits that. In that case, if I buy in August and I send my notice out in December, I ought to tell the interest holder, you have 1 year. And you may have longer, and I can use all sorts of other language, but if I tell them they have 1 year, I think that's sufficient to comply with due process. If I choose to wait, and my clients often do, because they're really interested in obtaining title to the properties that have been abandoned, and so they're waiting to see what redeems, and I'll tell you in my experience, a lot of these properties do redeem at the 11th hour. So they don't want to undertake the expensive notice that we discussed before in the prior case. If they choose to wait 90 days before the end of the one-year period, then they ought to tell the interest holder that you have 90 days, or at least 90 days, to redeem. Both of those are generally accurate statements. They do not rise to the level of giving legal advice. Both would comply with NDEGWA. Both would comply with Clark, with the addition that the due process standard from NDEGWA would be satisfied as well, because I think that's where the difference comes down in the two cases, Clark, United Asset Management Trust versus Clark, and NDEGWA. I think NDEGWA, like I said, can be broken down into two separate parts. I think they construe the statute incorrectly when they say you only have a year. But I don't think the other subpart is without some merit, which is to say, if you send your notice, it has to indicate some sort of pendency of the action. So I think using one-year language or 90-day language, either could be correct.
But the tax buyer pays the taxes, and they have an interest in the property. You send out a 90-day note. You have 90 days to redeem the property, and it's got to be done within a year. A year is a lot of time, and as a business person, like you said, you want to know have some certainty that you're going to get it taken care of, so you can proceed on the property just purchased. A year seems like a long time. When you say it takes 3 to 5 days to get the deed, and all you're trying to do is give them notice they have a right to redeem within that year.
Well, that's right. Are we talking about the year after the one-year anniversary and by the time that the viability period ends, or are we talking about the initial year?
I'm talking about the initial year.
The initial year. Like I said, I think it's possible to send notices within that time that comply. Is that any better? I don't know, but I do know that the statute provides for the flexibility for that to be done at a later time.
If 1 year were the absolute minimum and maximum deadline, what's the purpose of having a second year during which that whole second year period during which you can collect it?
There would be none. And that's just one of probably a half dozen other statutes within Chapter 140 that would be rendered meaningless if the 1 year was an absolute deadline. And the plain language of that 1 year, I think it's in 140.340, is at any time during the 1 year next ensuing. That's the language, and that's important because it sets a bare minimum, an absolute right, during that period of time. After that, well, it depends, and we'll see what.
But you still could, I mean, for example, if someone forecloses on a piece of property that renders the property the mortgage, let's say the mortgage company's property, they still have costs. They have, for example, if you foreclose and then you take an unlawful detainer action to get the property back, whoever was the property owner is not now, has to pay double rents into, double costs into this court in order to maintain their action on appeal. So there's still damage that can accrue after 1 year, which you can collect on. Like you're talking about the interest on the certificate. There's still damage that can accrue beyond the 1 year, which you can collect on.
You're talking about the interest that
right.
that accrues for that 6 month period that
right.
I can still collect on.
Right.
And that's true. And the value of any improvements that I make during that time could also be compensable.
Right. Exactly. So you're still collecting it. In a court of law, there's no problem with that.
I'm not sure I follow.
Well, like you said, the improvements you made and all the rest, you can collect those costs in the redemption.
Right, and I suppose you're right. I could seek a judicial remedy for those things.
Well, that's how you collect.
Right. I see my time is up.
Well, thank you. Any more questions? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court.
Yes, go ahead.
My name is Jerry Brandt. I'm here on behalf of Edward and Nancy Bosch, who purchased a home in Clay County, Missouri back in 1955. It was subject to a tax sale. It's the issue surrounding this case before the court this morning. I think there's an enormous amount of case law, including decisions of this court, stating that the statutory requirements of a tax sale must be strictly construed. The reason behind that is simply because not only the United States Constitution, but the Constitution of the State of Missouri require fundamental due process before you take someone's property. And the effect of a tax sale would be to take the property of Mr. and Mrs. Bosch.
But someone has cited today is the statute 145.020 that said it should not be strictly construed.
It is in the statute, but I don't believe a statute, Your Honor, can override the Constitution and the constitutionally required due process. And
the legislature frankly, might disagree. They recently amended the legislation and they seem to think that they get to indicate right in the law how we're supposed to construe.
I understand, Your Honor, but I think this court and other courts before it have determined that fundamental due process is required.
But beyond due process, they can.
Right, and really
to the level of due process.
Right. And I did want to point out, and I think there was discussion on this, that there's a different situation where you wait out the second year and lose interest than if a tax sale is set aside like this. The tax sale purchaser does get what they paid in, plus their improvements, plus interest, and the interest rate's the statutory rate of 9%, which is a pretty good
return. So the person who pays the taxes does get their money back.
Right, if the tax deed is set aside. In fact, Judge Miller, who sat on an earlier case, Mr. Denny and I tried a case before him a few months ago where the notice was clearly defective because the paper inside the sealed envelope was blank. So that was an easy one, and it's not headed this direction.
There was
no appeal.
You get your money back if someone redeems later then, or when the tax sale?
Yes, when you redeem, you have to pay in under the redemption process,
redeemed?
Or if it's set aside.
Okay.
A redemption would be to pay that amount of money that was paid, pay for any improvements made. Typically, though, the redemption period, there hasn't been time for someone to make improvements.
I'm just wondering here, it's been more than 2 years. So if we were to find the notice invalid, but there's also been no redemption, then do they get their money back in this case?
They would get their money back plus interest. And in fact, I think that summary judgment
entered. If there's no redemption, if no one if you don't follow the notice requirement and the statute's not followed, then... Do they have to redeem to keep possession?
No, if it's set aside, it can be set aside. There's some statutory reasons, and the courts have held numerous times that other defects in the process, the tax sale deed can be challenged.
Okay.
And when it is, and it's set aside and the funds returned. I think that one of the things that gets blurred in a lot of these cases is there are two entirely different elements in this statutory construction. Hobson. And I think the Wetmore decision, which was a decision of this court, I think in 1945, deal with the time in which someone has a right to redeem. While the statute's pretty clear, you got a right to redeem for a year. This court's held, no, you got a right to redeem up till, and I think as was discussed in the earlier case, and I think the Wetmore case is the definitive case on that it says you've got a right to redeem up to the execution and delivery of the deed. Well, in the modern world, mostly delivery means getting it recorded. But typically that happens pretty much on the same day. If you've gotten it from the collector, you're in the courthouse, so you probably record it that day. I think that the time period for redemption is totally different than the notice provision. 144.05, now, I practiced law back before the 80s, so I recall how it was, and I was county counselor at Clay County back in that time frame, and there was no notice. What had developed through that time period, as this court will well remember, is a relooking at some of due process requirements for various matters. Publication was no longer good enough if you had another means to find people. And 144.05 was adopted in the early 80s to provide a notice to the purchaser. And the time frame in 144.05 and all the statutes around it discuss that the notice shall be given at least 90 days prior to the date when a purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed. The purchaser shall notify any person who holds it, and so on, of the latter person's right to redeem. It doesn't say you'll notify them they have a right to redeem. Judge Ellis's decision in United Asset Management talks about just tell them they've got a right to redeem. This says of the latter person's right to redeem, not that you have. It says to inform them of the latter person's right to redeem.
It doesn't say notify them of their right to redeem and the time frame in which
they can. No, it does not. And that goes back in the cases, particularly the Eastern District cases, the Long Line, Key Line, Cedar Bridge, and so on, dealt with that because for due process notice, you need to notify them of the right and the pendency of the action. I think that Chief Justice Judge indicated that the question, this is done all the time. We have summonses to people. Individuals get a summons, and it says you've got 30 days from the date of service of this summons to respond. Well, that's pretty clear, and you got a court, you got a structure in which to go to, and it specifies the exact time that a layperson could understand. In our case, the notice, which is referred to in the brief, and I'll read it to you, that was sent. It says, it was dated July 25th, 2008. It said, this letter is sent to you as notice that you have 90 days to redeem said property. If you fail to redeem the property by said date, you will be forever foreclosed and barred from redemption. Nowhere in that notice, there was one sent each to Edward and to Nancy at the same address. It was sent on July 25th, 2008. It was received by them, sent certified mail. They signed for it and received it on July 28th, 3 days later. Nowhere in the notice does it say that it 90 days runs from the date of the letter. Nowhere does it say that it runs 90 days from your date of the receipt of the letter. If it ran from the date of the letter, it would be telling them that they had till around October 25th or 26th, however you count, to redeem. If it ran from their date of receipt, it would be telling them that they had up until October 28th, 2008, to redeem. And yet, by the Wetmore case, their right to redeem ran up until the execution and delivery of the deed some days later, whether it was 9 or 11, one can count differently. At the very least, how's a layperson to figure that out?
Why shouldn't we expect them to assume the shorter date? If they're the people that have put their property in jeopardy of being taken, they're given one last chance to redeem. Why shouldn't the onus be on them to assume the shorter date?
Well, if this court were to adopt,
because the idea is to give them notice to get them
right.
Some action.
But if we didn't reach that at the trial court, this was on summary judgment. Right. But if it took them 100 days instead of 101 to come up with the funds to pay the $5,000 or whatever it was in back taxes to redeem their home, they would have been chilled from doing it if they knew they couldn't accomplish it in 90 days.
But if
I think telling
that,
them something wrong is.
Why wouldn't it be your burden to show that you know, show prejudice?
Well, we have other evidence that we didn't get to, affirmative defenses at the mm-hmm. trial court level relating to some affirmative actions alleged taken by the tax sale purchaser. But we didn't get to those because summary judgment was granted in our favor.
What if a notice said, what the minimum date was, that you have an absolute right to redeem any time up to a year, and presumably you could say that date because you knew when you purchased it, or the later of 90 days when you received this letter. Would that always comply?
Well, I think that the notice in the other case was pretty detailed and really, I think, pretty much right, because I do think Wetmore is the last case in the line of the Supreme Court's decision, and up to the execution of the deed, you'd have a right to redeem. Obviously, that's a bit of a floating date to pick a date. Go back to the Boston case, which is an earlier Western District case. It was one of the earlier ones to deal with this. Judge Turnage in that case, and it was then followed by Judge Ellis in the United Asset Management, pretty much was saying, you pick the date. You tax sale purchaser, you pick the date, and that sets your time period to give the 90-day notice before that. I think that could lead to some serious difficulties. I think it's easier for someone to say the right time period. You have it, for example, I think it was mentioned a number of times in the preceding case, to say you have at least 90 days. The statutes, 405, does not say you give them 90-day notice, except the third sale is a whole different deal. We're not a third. We're a first sale. Okay. So on the first or second time it's up for sale, the statute at that time read, at least 90 days prior to the date when a purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed. Now, in that same section, it references 140.420. And this was discussed in the earlier case, but 140.420 says the 1 year is the right to redeem period for being authorized. Not that they're authorized, after 1 year.
What's the point of having that whole second year then, when it just sits there and there's no right of redemption, but purchaser gets that whole second year?
No, we don't disagree with Hobson Wetmore that the right of redemption continues. It's when are you supposed to send the notice? I mean, there's no reason you couldn't send the notice the day after the tax sale and give the taxpayer. Frankly, I think these tax sale purchasers do it at the end because it's more likely there won't be time for the...
But you couldn't notify them that their right to redeem ends in 1 year then if their right continues during that second year. What would you notify them?
Well, you could say, yes, you could say that, or until the, for at least 1 year, until the deed, collector's deed is executed and delivered, whichever is later. Well, actually, it's going to be or, because you have to wait the 1 year. But those would not be difficult letters to write.
Say you start trying to send out the notice 6 months ahead with the date of the 1 year date or 90 days from
correct
this letter. Well, it doesn't really matter how many days from the letter, I guess. But what if you can never get a correct date, a correct address? What if you can't locate them? What if it keeps getting sent back?
Well, we don't. It wasn't the case in our case. Mm-hmm. It was delivered to Mr. and Mrs. Bosch at their home, so they did receive it. But in a global situation, I think you're required just under rudimentary due process to make the effort to get the
so as long as you make reasonable efforts to get
correct
to them within that period,
correct,
that's
correct
adequate.
And that's the fundamental due process that is also the reason that you need to give them something, much like a summons or subpoena that says you got 30 days.
And the other aspect of it is, it is true that there's an allegation, well, the records will show they haven't paid their taxes. But it's a non-judicial process. Once you get done with getting the title and the deed, you can do an unlawful detainer, and you need nothing to get them out of the house, and you need nothing to throw them out of the house. You can just throw them out of the property. So you need, that's why a strict construction of this is probably something of an idea, because of the fact that the once you get title, even if you don't have title, you can apparently do an unlawful detainer.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I want to comment briefly on the other part. There was a motion pending by the appellants before the trial court, and they've asked this court to grant them summary judgment. There are a number of reasons we think that should not be the case, first of which is that we would ask this court to affirm the decision of the trial court granting us summary judgment. Second, their motion for summary judgment at the trial level did not include a statement of uncontroverted facts, which would be essential to the granting of a summary judgment. Third, the tax sale and collector's deed contained different legal descriptions. One said third plat. One didn't say third plat. Fourth, Harpagon and Sunrise Atlantic deal with the assignment from a non-resident foreign corporation or LLC, and the statutes require a process, it's in the brief, to accomplish that. And fifth, we had an affirmative defense of unclean hands, which was not, there were no uncontroverted facts, basically, that the Boshes were told prior to the end of the 90-day notice that their property was already gone. They had no right.
Mr. Brandt, if it's your interpretation that the statute says you have to send that notice at least 90 days prior to the one-year anniversary date, or early enough that there's at least 90 days, why does the statute say 90 days prior to the date when a purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed? If they meant the one-year anniversary, that's what they would have said.
Well, because in that statute, in the preceding sentence, it refers to 140.420. Mm-hmm. And 140.420 says that after the one-year period, the collector shall issue a deed.
But there's lots of other requirements you
have to show. Right, there are other requirements. There are
so
more now than there were.
But they may not be authorized on the tax sale date because they haven't complied with the other requirements.
Again, that 1 year is the this is the timing to send the notice. They have one whole year. They could do it the day after the tax sale.
It says 90 days prior to the date when they're authorized to acquire the deed, not 90 days prior to the one-year anniversary date. This troubles me as to why that if they meant the day you're authorized to acquire it is the one-year anniversary date, why didn't they say that? That's much more exact. This seems to indicate there's other things that may be involved.
Well, we probably had confusing decisions by the various courts of appeals because of the use of the language not 90 days prior to the execution and delivery of deed, which is an even clearer time frame. But there you would have a specific date, although you might not know it. Our argument, and many of the Eastern District cases took the position that you're authorized, you've got some steps to take, but you're authorized to go acquire the deed. There's some older cases, too, that talk about once that one-year redemption period has expired, there becomes an equitable interest in the ownership of the property. So your interest ripens from simply this certificate of purchase into an equitable interest in the property once the 1 year expires.
How did Hobson use the phrase authorized to acquire the deed? Did they take that as meaning something different than the, I know it was a third sale, but did they equate that with the tax sale date or?
I didn't write down
we can
my
look
notes,
at it. That's
but
okay.
Wetmore, which followed Hobson, which was a decision of this court, says, again, it's not talking about when you send this notice, because that notice provision wasn't even there. It was talking about when you had your right to redeem ended.
Okay.
And Wetmore said your right to redeem ends on the execution and delivery of the deed.
And you agree with that and that part of Hobson?
That's not inconsistent with when you're required to send the notice. Which is a different provision adopted later, and well after Wetmore was decided that you had up until the execution and delivery of the deed. So, but we think here that in our case that the fact that the notice said 90 days and didn't say beginning when, ending when, there was no way for Mr. and Mrs. Bosch to have any idea what time frame was. That even if this court decides that you don't have to say, all you have to do is say you have a right to redeem, that you certainly should not approve a notice that tells them something that's wrong. I mean, there were three or four different dates available under that.
Yeah, if they had redeemed in the 90 days, though, would they have been in time? If they had taken the notice at face value, applied the shortest time, even if it was wrong, they wouldn't have been
prejudiced. They would have a right to redeem up till the 101 days, right. I believe, and I don't believe that the appellant challenges that.
Thank you. Any more questions? Thank you, Mr. Brandt.
If it pleases the court, I'll waive rebuttal. I think I went way over on the initial one, unless there's any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. The The court case will be taken under submission.